Well, hello and welcome. The topic of this interview is one that's going to get all you techno geeks all excited. And well, let me say that even if you don't classify yourself as a techno geek, it is still going to be a very important interview for you, perhaps more from an education point of view, understanding where are we at with the cloud computing and all the software and technology that is moving forward at such a rapid pace, and how do we use it within our businesses. So this is a topic that is, you know, of immense interest to me, because I see it as a very real way to gain efficiencies and, more importantly, a competitive advantage compared to your customers, because there are a lot of businesses out there that are just flat out scared of technology and they're really putting on the back burner and not adopting it. So if you're listening to this and you are a firm that wants to grow, then technology, cloud computing, software can be a very real way to get an edge. Now, while I love this topic, I'm by no means the expert on it, so I wanted to reach out to someone who is. And through my search, I have stumbled upon Clayton Oates. Now, Clayton and I happened to share the stage recently at an event that we were both speaking at, and as I started to learn more about Clayton, I knew he was the guy to interview and get down and dirty about the changes and trends in the industry. Now, to tell you a bit about Clayton, he is an accountant by trade, so don't hold that against him. He's actually a very cool guy. And anyway, through necessity, really, because he was working with clients and realizing they didn't always have the data that they wanted to be able to, or they need to have, to be able to make good decisions in their business. Their systems weren't integrated. They were dealing with different versions of different software, and it was just all very complicated. So, you know, 25 years ago when he started in the software consulting field, there weren't a whole lot of options, but, you know, obviously in today's space there are just tons of options. And I think one of the reasons why this interview is so important and so timely is because there's been enough mass or momentum built within, you know, the cloud infrastructure. There's a lot of buzz around it, that there can be the feeling that, you know, you need to be on this, or you should be on this. And for a lot of you, that's going to be absolutely true. It's a word of caution, I guess, is what Clayton also puts forward, in recognizing that while there has been a lot of development in technology and cloud computing, it is still very much early days and the players are still very much settling themselves out. So I won't ruin it for you. I'll let Clayton explain it, because he is for sure the expert here. But enjoy the interview. We dive into lots of detail, cover lots of different areas that will benefit you if you consider yourself a guru on this stuff, or if you're an absolute novice. And of course, if you've got questions or you want some more detail in a particular area, feel free to comment below the blog and we'll get back to you. Or you can reach right out to Clayton. I'll put his Twitter handle and his company details below the post here as well. So with that, I'll sign off and let you enjoy the interview. So welcome, Clayton. Good to have you on the line, buddy.
Great to be here, Jamie. Thanks for having us.
And good to hear you finally got your daughter off to school for the last day. Missed the bus and all, eh?
Yeah, well, I think she thought yesterday was the last day, so she might have had a bit of a sleep in this morning, but got her fired up for her last session.
It sounds like a nightmare to think you'd done school for the year and then realize you've still got one day left.
Yeah. Well, when you got five of them, the other four are at high school, and they all finished yesterday, so we forgot about the baby of the group.
Awesome. So we're going to dive in and talk about, obviously, the people listening to this are business owners who want to grow their businesses, and I'm a huge fan of cloud technology, and maybe to the detriment, because maybe I try and push it too hard on clients, but, you know, I wanted to speak to you because you've obviously got a ton of experience with this stuff, and maybe demystify some of the things for people, but also give some of the trends and some of the realities of where cloud technology is at. But maybe before we dive into the specifics, Clayton, maybe just give us a bit of your background and how did you get into this? And I mean, I think you're an accountant by trade, aren't you? But now you find yourself helping people integrate with cloud technology. So give us a bit of your background there.
Yeah, no worries, Jamie. Look, essentially I started out doing accounting as a degree at university in Melbourne, and I really, the reason I actually did accounting, I didn't have a passion really to be an accountant. I really had a burning desire to have my own business one day. I knew as a sort of a teenager or watching other business owners and operators as I was growing up that really, that ultimately was to have my own business, I felt as though that would provide a future for myself and my family. Although there's some hard yards in business, obviously, but the net benefit was going to enable me to sort of have some freedom and some time, and that was certainly the goal. So I really did accounting so I could learn about business, and I actually got sort of stuck in the accounting industry for 10 years or so without sort of making a decision to move on and actually establish and set up my first business. So I that was around the mid-1990s, and accounting software was just starting to get going, desktop accounting software, and I had quite an interest in the technology sort of space. Had my first Apple at age 13 in 1980 or so, or 81. So, you know, I had a sort of this bent for technology, of what technology was back then. And I could see in the accounting firm that clients were acquiring accounting software from, let's say, your major retailers like Harvey Norman, Officeworks in those days. But they weren't really getting trained and set up and supported properly, we felt, and the accounting firm was seeing the end result of sort of poorly set up systems. And the promise of technology, I was so excited about technology that really technology is an enabler ultimately to try and help small businesses buy back some time in their life and put in better business systems and better business processes in their business. So, but it wasn't being delivered. So we always sort of stuck in my mind, we're either part of the solution or part of the problem. So if we're going to be part of the solution, we actually needed to be proactive in the accounting firm to actually go and set up, train and support clients in their endeavours in setting up accounting software systems. There was a vested interest there to make sure that the software was actually well set up and organised so you could get the end of your accounting and tax done quickly and efficiently. But bigger than that, I really viewed, and many people at the time too, saw technology as an enabler to really buy back some time for them from the small business owner and operator and get them home earlier and in touch with their family and buy back, get some of that freedom that most people dreamt about when they first went into business, but the reality was far from that. So we set up a consulting division in a regional accounting firm based here in Lismore, and we decided to be proactive and actually go out and train and support and bring technology to small business. And then once the platform was set up, we then worked with clients to do things like, you know, set up budgets, set up cash flow analysis, look at KPIs, business indicators in their business, try and get them to understand really where their business is up to in a timely basis. And so we built out a consulting division, which I started as an employee of the accounting group. And within a few years, I checked in with the partners and said, is there any way I can buy into this? And they said, sure, we'd love you to stay and build it, which I did for 5 years. And then in 2002, QA Business is the business name that we created. I bought that consulting division out of the accounting group. We wanted our independence. We wanted to then work with accounting firms, bookkeepers, consultants, and small business to help set up and train and support them in software technologies that were geared around the financial and accounting space, but then built out from there to other solutions that bolted onto the accounting engine. So that was sort of the basis of where we started.
Yeah, awesome. So it's interesting because, you know, I don't know where the cloud technology started, but certainly I think some of the biggest shakeup from what I've seen has been with the shift in accounting software and the adoption. I think that, you know, particularly here in Australia, zero accounting is just, you know, they've done such a good job marketing and getting market penetration. It's really, I think, progressed how people view the cloud. And have you seen the same thing?
Absolutely. I think I can sort of pinpoint it really to, I actually went to Xero's first software conference that they had in Australia in 2011 in July. And that was sort of a moment really where whilst the application had been in Australia a year or two before that, it was sort of viewed, I suppose, of those of us in the profession like a bit of a toy, a sort of, you know, a cash book, something that didn't have a lot of substance to it. But when I sort of took the time to investigate it further, I could actually, it just really hit me up the side of the face that, wow, these guys are actually have thought about building a product that is native to the cloud. They didn't have the issues of legacy desktop software to deal with. They approached it in a way that, you know, if we were going to do this, how should it be done in a cloud environment to enable then the benefits of what cloud really offers to small business. Which was really in the accounting space, and every small business needs to account for their finances. So, you know, every small business is a potential customer to this solution. So what the benefit was really is that it was removing some pain points that existed in the accounting technology space. Clients were invariably not on the latest versions of software. Accountants were on different versions. There was a lot of work that had to be done when clients would send their software data file, you know, either on a USB or email it or on a CD, send it into the accountant's office. There was a lot of legwork that had to be done to even work out, well, what version is the client using as opposed to what we're using. There was all this extra sort of administrative role that had to be undertaken that was a waste of time and money. And then what would happen is the client's data would then sort of not be in sync with the accountant's data. So the accountant would finish the tax return and the financial statements, but often that wouldn't get balanced or reconciled back or squared up to with the small business software that was being used in the small business. So the two systems were always constantly sort of out of sync, and that was sort of creating a bit of a friction really between the accountant and the small business. And cloud accounting, actually, this notion of having what's known as a common ledger or the single ledger or the single version of the truth, that everyone can actually potentially work on the same data in different ways so that you're actually sort of then advising off the same information, which really was what cloud enabled.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I'm obviously a huge fan of having that real-time data that you can have from cloud technology, but it's of course become much bigger than just finances now. I mean, with so many applications and applications, I guess is the word now in the cloud. I mean, you at a stage where you can have your CRM, your operations software, whatever that might be, some kind of ERP. ERP is like enterprise resource. Planning, yeah. Your finances linked with your website, with a bunch of other more customized niche type apps. They can all be integrated so that there's single point of data entry. Talk a little bit about what you've seen there, Clayton, and maybe a way to phrase it to give people some context. I really want people to get a feel for what the cloud can deliver for them from an efficiency and systems point of view, and then maybe we'll wrap into, what's the reality of making that happen? Because I know the promise is not necessarily as easy in reality as what it looks on the outside. So can you speak a bit to that?
Yeah, that's absolutely. That's a great point. It's a big question. I think the cloud sort of brought benefits in terms of mobility, that we could actually be mobile. We're in a mobile environment these days, and accessibility, and also this notion of sort of collaboration and connectedness. Now, the promise of desktop accounting software or accounting software in or small business software in general was that we would be able to sort of maybe start at the hub being accounting, and accountants think that accounting software is the center of the universe. But then most of us in business realize that there's all these other applications. It could be the CRM system or the e-commerce system. These were really run as sort of silos of information. They weren't really connecting sort of since the 90s through to, say, 2010. Think of maybe cloud starting really around that 2010, 2011 phase. And what was happening was that whilst there was potential for these sort of silos of business units to connect, it was actually very difficult to connect a piece of desktop software with another piece of desktop software. You had to have a piece of what's known as sort of middleware to sort of connect it and join all the dots. So the actual the cloud and internet-based systems have an ability to connect through what's known as an application program interface, API. I won't get any more technical than that because I don't really know much more than that about it. But the ability for web-to-web connections to occur is a lot easier and simpler to actually make a reality now in this internet-based world. Having said that, we are still at the early stages of this whole connectedness. There's been an explosion of apps. There's purportedly around 500 business applications now that can connect to the mainstream accounting software programs, Xero sort of started that out with building out a very large ecosystem and making it easier for third-party developers to actually connect with their accounting system. And then now we've got other major players like QuickBooks Online, Sage One, MYOB have sort of recalibrated, and Reckon as well. We're in a very competitive landscape in Australia with sort of 5 to 6 major software vendors vying for the attention and the market of the small business community in Australia, which really it means that we've got a sort of an environment where a lot of competition exists. And what we're seeing feed out of that is it's sort of an increased level of innovation and the ability for now third-party products to connect with these mainstream accounting systems. There sort of was a thought really 20 years ago, maybe lasted for 10 years, was thinking that, okay, we've got accounting and payroll sort of sorted out in the accounting software. Why can't accounting software become a bit bigger than that? Why can't it start handling CRM, all our job management, our e-commerce, our document management? And the reality was the major software companies really didn't build those solutions out to handle that. They probably weren't built for that expansion. So then they were relying on sort of third-party companies to fill those needs and then ideally connect and bolt in and connect to the accounting software. But the reality was it was difficult to do. There was a lot of environmental issues too, different versions of Windows, for example, and different sort of operating systems within businesses. And now if we're sort of shifting out and transitioning out to this cloud environment, it's sort of a level playing field. We're removing those barriers of infrastructure and IT in particular businesses that was interfering in a way with and complicating the ability to run connected systems.
So I guess an interesting question then, in your experience, like, is now the time that people should be looking at cloud technologies and getting more streamlined with the, you know, with the possible connectedness, or is it still a pretty messy landscape where, okay, maybe you'll just get your accounting system on, but let's not go too crazy here. What do you see there? Because I'm very much pro, but maybe I'm maybe I'm naive and uninformed and wanting to believe things are better than they are. What do you see out there?
I think, Jamie, you're an innovator and an early adopter of solutions and technologies. And there's actually there's a great book written by a fellow called Dr. Jeffrey Moore called Crossing the Chasm. And he talks, this is 20 years ago he wrote this book, and it was talking about the technology adoption life cycle as to how certain percentages of people get in really early on solutions. And sort of you think of, survey your next 20 friends you talk to and ask who's got an Apple iWatch. Probably one of them have. And maybe 5 years ago, who had an iPad? First ones to have it. Who was the first person that you knew to get a microwave in the earlier days? Right. There's this group of people that are early adopters and innovators that actually get involved. It's around about 15 to 16% of the market are these sort of early adopters. And they generally get involved in solutions or technologies when the solution is not quite ready for prime time yet, but they're happy to sort of put up with the shortcomings because they can see where it's going. And they actually partner and work with and give feedback to the software developers and help them devise what their future build-out of the solution should really be in order to get the product ready for the early majority and the late majority, which is where around 60 to 70% of the market is. And this early adopter group sort of validates the solution. They become then that sort of first wave of sort of sneezers or spruikers as to, hey, you know, you really should get on board. It's great. A lot of people may look at people like ourselves and say, well, it's okay for you guys. You live in technology. I'm not quite ready to go there. That's okay. But there comes a point, like a tipping point, where people start to get involved. And I think we're right at that point right now. In Australia, there's around about 15 to 20% of small businesses have actually transitioned to cloud accounting, which is a large number when you think about it in 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, there's, absolutely.
But that is only still the early adopters. The masses are sitting on the sidelines right now assessing, you know, in early days they were probably thinking, well, you get involved and we'll see how you go. And you know, a lot of them thought it'd be a disaster. They were really concerned about things like security, you know, the ability to connect. There are still tangible issues around all of this. You know, if your internet speed is terrible, then you've got to carefully consider whether cloud accounting or cloud technologies are appropriate for you at the moment. However, look at our mobiles. Our mobile internet speed tends to be getting better, and often sometimes a lot faster than it is in the office on broadband. So there is this, and even then the advisors, the accountants and bookkeepers, there was this first wave of accountants and bookkeepers and business advisors that just got all over it and realized, wow, this is what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for the ability to be able to work collaboratively with our clients on the data at the same time, be the proactive business advisor that, and desktop software was really slowing down that ability to do that. It didn't destroy it. It could be done in the desktop era. It was just a lot more challenging, a lot more difficult to do. So there's a sort of now this moment where bookkeepers, accountants, consultants, and small businesses are really now going through this phase of due diligence. As to, and if anyone listening out there, if you haven't sort of started to sort of get your head around this, I think now's a perfect time, because the software companies have built their products out to a level of sort of ending the beginning phase, which is really getting their solutions to a level of parity with the features that were available in the desktop software.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of this first thing that needed to be achieved, really, is to, okay, you know, can I do the same functions that I can in the cloud that I could already do on my desktop accounting software? And the answer really right now is essentially yes. There may be a couple of tiny little features still to build out, but by and large in the last 12 to 18 months, we've achieved the end of the beginning. And really now it's sort of now a platform's sort of been laid. There's been an uptick in experience in advisors on getting their head around how do these systems work, how do you train people in them, how do you support them, and now it really is sort of this next wave of bringing suites of solutions to the marketplace that connect with this core accounting software engine, which is where I hang out.
So if I can shift gears a little bit and talk about, okay, so there's someone sitting out there and they say, right, okay, we understand that now's a good time to jump in. Obviously, the accounting is a logical place to start. What if we want to look bigger than that and say, okay, well, you know, also our CRM is probably lacking and it's a bit clunky. Maybe we're using Outlook and everyone's got different contacts in their contact database. We want to centralize that. Or maybe we're looking for something, maybe we're a manufacturing company and we're looking for something to help us with scheduling. So, you know, if I'm out on the road seeing a customer, I can look in and see when the job's going to be running, you know, live job boards, that sort of thing. I see potential there, but where I see a lot of people getting stuck is, look, that sounds good, but where do we start? How do we even research the options that might be available to us? Do we just do accounting, or, you know, if we want to go further in our business, how do we find out the options? You got any light to shed on that for us, Clayton?
Yeah, I think one thing worth doing is really sort of sitting down and sort of mapping out your business workflow, your business processes, understanding the workflow in your organization. Accounting really, and that's why I talked earlier, accountants think it's the center of the universe, but it's actually more than likely incidental. The accounting result, the BAS, the tax return, the financial statements, the debtors, managing your suppliers, sort of is more incidental as to what happens after some workflow has occurred within the business. And you've actually hit on a really great point there. It's probably more the case now that businesses are now starting to look at, well, perhaps CRM, you know, the way we actually interact with our prospects, our customers, our clients, our patients, whatever, however we term them to be, is actually the most important part of our business. Looking at our things, I know, you know, this is an area of expertise that you're in, you know, looking at things like your conversion rates and understanding, you know, the cost of acquisition of a client. And so CRM, to us, we also feel as though that's sort of been a bit of a sleeper in small business. You know, it's been underutilized. And perhaps then what sits off that are then areas of sort of job management and actually how do we actually manage our work processes. So what we're seeing is people are now starting to think, well, okay, it's actually more about the area of the solution that's more specific to my industry or perhaps my business. And accounting is really all of these major add-on solutions, and we sort of view them as add-on solutions, but maybe they're more hub of the business, like CRM or e-commerce, or maybe it's the HR payroll side of things. Maybe it's advanced inventory. So maybe you're a business that's in wholesale or distribution or manufacturing, and you have now got solutions or cloud-based solutions that actually go deep in manufacturing. You know, you might be in the food industry where batch control is really important. So then people are tending now to sort of focus or shift, and I think they well should be, is looking at what business application can better run my business. And then also these products then should have connections. Do they have connections to the mainstream cloud accounting software providers? And in the past, what we saw is that third-party software products tended to maybe plug in very deeply to one desktop accounting software solution. It might have been MYOB or QuickBooks Desktop or Reckon Accounts these days. We're finding now, though, that people that are developing applications for the cloud, because it's easier now to connect with the multiple software companies, multiple accounting software engines, that basically if the business decides, well, that's the provider that actually specializes in my industry, my profession, and handles CRM the way we want it to be handled for our business, then there's a choice as to which accounting software that connects into. So you're not actually governed by the accounting software, you're governed by what's the best business process here. And so don't just get stuck on thinking I'm cloudifying my accounting software. It's really, this is a golden opportunity in a moment to look at the whole of business and start with the chunks of the business that are really important and actually offer the best value to automate, streamline, put in business systems that increase business value.
So I think you mentioned a really good point there, and is looking at that overall workflow and saying, okay, in the ideal world, how would we like things to flow and what information would we like to be able to see, or where do we want to get improvements in our processes? So I think what you're saying is then you can sort of map out, okay, here's what the ideal solution would be able to deliver for us, and then go to the marketplace and start looking at the options from that point. Is that, have I understood you correctly there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what it really is, you do need to invest a little bit of time and effort, maybe after Christmas or in the New Year's perfect time for this, is actually to sit down and understand and map out your business processes. And then you could probably going to get the greatest leverage, the greatest actual return on streamlining, automating those processes in the cloud environment. And then once that bit's done, then you can, part of that process is saying, okay, well, which accounting software do you plug into?
So let's say someone does that. I'm asking this question with a particular client in mind who I was just talking with a second ago. And Heather, if you're listening, this is asked for you. So a client has done that. They've mapped out, here's what we're looking for. Here are the core things that we want this thing to be able to deliver on. Now it's a case of going to the market and trying to find the options. How do you suggest people do that? Are they best to reach out for a cloud integrator like yourself, or can they just jump on and Google and get trials of a bunch of different things? What's the best way to find the options out there? Because, you know, I've dived into many of these different options, being the geek that I am, I enjoy doing that. But I could see how people could very quickly become overwhelmed and a bit lost on the process. So any guidance there, Clayton?
It's interesting you mentioned the word overwhelmed. It's a phrase I use a lot at the moment when talking to accountants and advisors as well. There is this sense of overwhelmment, you know, with 500 or thereabouts, certainly hundreds of add-on apps, that a lot of them have just been created in the last 2 or 3 years, solving specific needs. It's created this overwhelmment, and then what's come from that is a bit of inertia. It's like, well, okay, there's just too many to choose from. I'm not going to choose anyone. And really, it is about actually discerning and knowing your scope, knowing what it is that you need and want, having your wish list. You may need an external advisor to assist you with that process, someone that can come in and walk through your business and look at the succinct sort of opportunities to automate and streamline. But it's also then, you know, back to business basics. You know, you need to be able to interview these potential suppliers of solutions. And, you know, having the asking the question, you know, can you put me in touch with a couple of referral sites that are relevant to my industry, similar? I need to speak to the business owners and operators that have already put this solution in place. Talk to, you know, the accountant or the advisor. Who are your partners? So if you're looking to maybe, let's say you're an accountant out there listening to this recording, then go and talk to, get in touch with other people that have partnered with that software company before you just go and recommend willy-nilly off the back of an internet recommendation. You know, we've got to get back to being real about this. There is a lot of noise. There's a term that we use in the software industry called brochureware. Not software, but brochureware. Some companies can have a really flash brochure. They can look good at their website end, and that's probably not that hard to do these days. But you need to dig a lot deeper than that and actually find out, you know, who are they, what's their pricing like, how many customers have they got, are they prepared? You've got to get a sense as to whether they're going to continue to build out their solution. Do you feel as though you can have a conversation with them about the continual improvement of their product? And it's a partnership, really, particularly because we're early days with a lot of these products and providers. Also, the accounting software companies themselves, like Xero, Intuit's QuickBooks Online, MYOB, they have on their websites a sort of a preferred partner portal or a list of add-on partners that connect with their software. If you sort of see maybe one that's popping up in and connecting with two or three major accounting software programs, it sort of is a sign that they've done the hard yards to actually be across the industry as opposed to just sort of coattailing off one particular supplier. But there is a little bit, there's due diligence that needs to be done. You need to feel right about the supplier, the sales rep or the business development manager that you're talking to. The challenge is for the early adopters of us out there, we're trawling the internet and we're doing a lot of webinars and trials and, you know, a whole plethora of apps, but we're probably then not going to the next step and actually the integration, the implementation. So it's probably a case of, look, choosing one, what's their conversion like? Can you convert your existing data? Are they going to help you and work with you? You know, that just is, and talk to people that are, you mentioned the term cloud integrator there, and that is a new profession, really, that's actually evolving.
Define that, I guess, because yeah. Some people might not know what that is.
That's right. It's someone that can look at your business, understand your business workflow and processes, and then bring a sort of a toolkit of solutions and ideas and suggestions on, here are some companies that we're working with, an aggregator, if you like, that actually then we can connect them so that we can roll them out in your business and we can connect them to the accounting software at the end of the day. It's really new. There's not a lot of people doing this yet in Australia, but we're actually seeing accounting firms and bookkeeping firms and IT consultants self-selecting to be the cloud integrator. Mostly they've done a lot of heavy lifting in the background. They've done a lot of research. They're assessing and discerning who they're partnering with, so that they can then back this back-to-back solution of actually, well, I've got great partners as far as software companies that actually create these apps, and then they'll actually be your conduit to those providers and actually get involved and actually install the system, train it, support it in your business.
I kind of relate cloud integrators to a little bit like a mortgage broker. They've got multiple solutions at their fingertips, and they're trying to understand what your needs are and what the best solution is. And so they're a little more objective, I guess. And I think a great starting point. But certainly, you know, people can do their own research too. But sometimes an integrator can save you some time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, no one's got the whole toolkit sorted. This is the thing.
That's a great point. Yeah.
This is an evolution. There's just so much happening in this space. You need to sort of just partner with someone who gets you and gets your business and takes the time to sort of ask the questions as to how you operate now and want to in the future. So it's an evolving space. there's sort of then sitting around the accounting system, there's probably sort of six major chunks of business processes that can be that various cloud providers are actually focusing on. You mentioned CRM. That's a very obvious sort of starting point. Then there's the more advanced inventory, manufacturing, wholesaling, distribution, talked about that. Then you've got HR and payroll and sort of web portals and mobile timesheets. If you've got sales reps on the road, there's abilities now for them to actually fill out their time and allocate it to jobs in the mobile environment, and that all synchronizes through your accounting engine and raising your invoices and even collecting mobile payments while they're out on the field. And then the whole another area is e-commerce, the ability to sort of connect your web presence, your web store, through to your accounting system. So you're not double entering payments and invoices that have happened online. You shouldn't really have to be doing that these days. And then there's also this whole space, which is probably a really simple place to start, is document management, managing the workflow of documents in your business. There's abilities now in Xero, for example. You know, if your supplier is using Xero and you're the customer and you're using that product as well, there can be the ability for your supplier to automatically send that supplier invoice to you without you having to re-enter it into your system. It just pops up saying, hey, you've received a bill from Jamie. Do you want to read it into your Xero accounting system? So it's within the ecosystem. And I think that'll build out across all the cloud applications as well, so that you've got very low HI or human interference in managing the mundane. You know, there was a term many years ago, 20 years ago, it was written to say, look, anything that can be automated will be automated.
And I have a client here locally that just implemented a service called M-Files, which is, I don't know if you've heard of that, it's basically a document management service, and they now have everything scanned in, which apparently is very seamless, and I've had a look at their system, and it saved them so much time in terms of looking for paperwork. It's so searchable. Anything, whether it's an invoice, a job ticket, an email, their whole system is searchable. So it's just say, and now they've got their manufacturing, they've got tablets out in their operations area, so people don't have to come into the office and interrupt people anymore. They can just, you know, scan, look for things on their own. So just massive time savings.
Yeah, and that's really simply implemented these processes. As long as if you've got the back end being a cloud system, a cloud accounting system that actually can connect with these apps, which there's so many now available. You know, another area is the mobile sales rep that's actually filling out your expense claim. So you've been on the road for a week, you've got a heap of receipts that you've got to get reimbursed for. We're seeing now apps where you can just take a photo of that receipt when you might have purchased a meal or something, and you've taken a photo of the receipt, you don't actually even touch the receipt, you leave it where it was on the counter, and that app will enable you to code and classify that transaction, compile your expense reimbursement claim, and also match, you might be using a corporate credit card in your name, it also matches the corporate credit card transaction to that receipt that you've taken a photo of, and then feeds into your accounting system waiting for, and it actually can generate the reimbursement to you as well, whether it's directly to your bank or via your next pay from the employer.
So I think we might start to wrap it up, Clayton, but I think maybe I'd like to come back and I got a couple last questions for you, but maybe just reinforce that point you made earlier that if you're at the stage of looking to move to the cloud in some way, shape, or form, to look at it as an overview. You mentioned a couple of key components there that someone needs to look at, and I think you made a good point that the time now is to look at the whole system. Don't just look at one individually and say, okay, let's do this one. While you might do that from an implementation point of view, you want to have an understanding of the bigger picture and know how it all can play out, because there is massive gains to be had from an efficiency point of view. What I wanted to ask you were maybe on the pitfall side of things, you know, are there some things that people should be aware of? And maybe we covered a little bit when we talked about the due diligence side, but when people are going to implement some cloud technologies, what are some of the things that maybe people don't think about that they should think about?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes back to that sort of scope of works, knowing what it is that you want to automate and knowing your business processes. Don't just leave it to chance, because you can find out really clearly in advance as to what or how does this cloud technology actually handle that business processes, and not all of them do. They're still being built out, so you don't want to just discover that after the end of the first week when you're trying to. Let's say you've got inventory in your business and you've got it in multiple locations, a warehouse in Melbourne, a warehouse in Sydney, and you suddenly realise that when you go to do the first order that the accounting software only handles a single inventory location and you'd need an add-on product to actually manage warehouses. So you really need to sort of define that scope up front, get it out to either the software supplier or probably more appropriately to a consultant that can actually go through each and every point with you. It doesn't mean you have to have all of them handled. You just need to know that in advance and so you can manage your expectation. Some of these things will get built out over time. Your internet speed is, you know, in regional areas is quite important to know, is it going to function in a way that isn't going to be a burden to you in speed and efficiencies? Do they have a mobile app? It's not just the cloud accounting software, a cloud application. How does the mobile app work? So a lot of times people would prefer to do most of their work in the mobile environment on the phone, and we're seeing these accounting technology companies build out their application on the mobile phone a lot deeper. So in the past, you might have only been able to raise an invoice, for example, to a customer. Now you can do things like do your bank rec on the go, which I imagine we'd all love to be doing while we're, you know,
yeah, sitting. couldn't think of anything better.
How exciting. So there's, you know, it is just careful discernment. One size does not fit all. There has been a sort of an expectation that why would I need a lot of these apps? Why doesn't the accounting engine do all of this? I think what we're seeing is the pendulum is sort of swinging a bit from the apps world handling everything to now that the end of the beginning has occurred in the cloud accounting software build-out, we're now seeing it's really what's next. And there's actually one area is debtor management, managing your overdue accounts with your customers. In the past, there was apps that actually and add-on products that would manage that, you know, reminder emails or click here to pay now or set up a structure or a system to follow up overdue accounts and that would be automated. What we're seeing now, and Xero, for example, just introduced it, is the ability to do that within the software application. So more and more probably going to see these core apps that actually are going to be brought into the suite, into the fold, in the accounting software. Another area is dashboards, the ability to sort of report on your business with a visual representation of the business.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Clayton, but that one there I think has massive potential. I think I mentioned to you last time we saw each other a couple of solutions that I discovered, and while they're pretty high-end, you might need to find someone that can help you implement them. I just see the power of having visible dashboards around your place of business that show different departments and different areas live KPIs.
Yep.
Like, and I'm a huge fan of open book management and getting everyone on the same page and having everyone involved in the planning of the business within reason, of course. But I think if people are involved and know what they can do to help a business grow, there's something in it for them when that business grows and they can see the results they're producing real time, the feedback is instantaneous. I think that can be an absolute game changer for people.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it really is this notion that it's essentially these big business tools that sort of big businesses have probably had departments and teams and spent a lot of money sort of having these solutions in place. Big business tools now really are becoming available to small business at a small business price. Mm-hmm. And so the world is flat. It's getting flatter. And, you know, really this is really what we talk about when saying that accounting technology or small business technology has got a promise to keep and delivering on, these insights into where the business is up to, identifying and alerting, you know, the data. There's a lot of machine learning that can happen in the background here that can alert the business owner or their consultant or their accountant or bookkeeper of what's going on in the business so that they can be proactive. Let's say your average debtor days for collections in your business has ticked up by 3 days in the last month. The system can be designed to sort of alert you to say, hey, this has happened. If you don't deal with it, then it's going to have an impact on cash flow of, you know, let's say $10,000 over 6 months. It can quantify it as well. So this is this isn't all here yet, but this is what we're saying to software vendors and accountants and advisors to say, come on, we need to be moving and pushing in this direction because we owe it to small business to deliver on this.
Look, it's pretty exciting stuff, Clayton, and I want to be respectful of your time. Where can people find you? Where on the interweb?
Yeah, well, I hang out on Twitter a bit, so if you're on Twitter, it's at Clayton, C-L-A-Y-T-O-N, underscore Oates, O-A-T-E-S, QA Business. You can find us at qabusiness.com.au on the web, and, yeah, so I just love to, and LinkedIn as well, and also if you want to email us, just send us an email at info@qabusiness.com.au. And just say, look, you've got a question for Clayton. It'll get to me and I'll follow up with you guys. So thanks so much, Jamie, for having us on today. I'm sure there's more we could perhaps talk about next year. And
yeah, I'm sure. It's a deep topic. And, yeah, I'd love to have you on again, Clayton, because I think as this stuff evolves, there's always more to report on. And I'm sure people are going to have questions coming out of this because it is an area that's so new and evolving. And I think particularly also not just new because it's new full stop, but it's a mindset shift for people that they're not necessarily running towards. So it takes a while to warm up to these things. But now, look, really appreciate your insights and look forward to catching up again soon.
No worries at all, mate. And just wishing everyone a fantastic Christmas, New Year and 2016 and beyond.
Cool. Thanks, Clayton.
Cheers. Good on you, Jamie. Bye.